WPFW, Washington.
Good evening, Washington, D.C., and America, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Join the fray as we broadcast live from the golden studios of WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. Join Terry, Mark, and Garland as they boldly go where no commentators have gone before to inform, even save the nation with wit, wisdom, and sagacity on the Raucous Caucus.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus on WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica in Washington, D.C. Determined to straighten out this city, no matter what it takes. I am Terry D. Kester here with my good colleague and good friend.
Mark Levine.
No, you're not Mark Levine.
He's not here yet, huh? Well, you know, Mark usually does the work of three.
Yeah.
Larry, Moe, and Curly are the particular three that I'm talking about. But my name's Garland Nixon.
It is?
Yeah.
All right. Good. All right. Garland Nixon, Terry D. Kester.
Speak of the devil and he shall appear.
I thought you locked the door. I thought that was set.
Yeah, and I slid the sofa and a refrigerator in front of the door. He's a madman, I'll tell you. He's got the strength of 10.
Even I'm late to a radio show.
It's not strength that we're absorbing right now.
You're right.
Never mind. We're not going to go there. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Terry. Good to see you.
Mark Levine is now with us. This is still the Raucous Caucus. The topic is tonight, land of the free, my butt.
And is that because you can't say other things on the air, Terry?
That's exactly right.
So this is about freeing Terry's butt? Free Terry's butt!
Damn
free
right
Terry's
it is.
Butt.
Apparently it's trapped.
See, I said, damn, don't let me do that. Okay. Anyway, you know, we've got sofa and Pia, whatever you say it. I hope you guys know about that. I
mean, Pipa?
Pipa, sofa. These bills before Congress, you know, that trying to literally change the infrastructure of the Internet, which is an absolutely disastrous thing, and that definitely is something we got to talk about. And we, of course, you know, got Citizens United. We're celebrating the anniversary. You know, isn't that wonderful?
If you just love super PACs.
Corporate Citizens United is what we're going to call it.
Yeah, right. And so nice to know that General Motors is a person just like me and shops the same way I do. Anyway, and it was a wonderful thing.
It's got a little bit more power than you do, too.
Yeah. They can donate unlimited funds.
You're stuck at
like $2,300 or something crazy.
$2,300.
I'm stuck with
10 bucks.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah, 2,300 yen is what I was talking about.
Okay.
Wampum.
Yeah. And also, thing in the Washington Post this Sunday, which I hope you ought to take a look at, and if you didn't, it was in the Outlook section, and do look it up, the 10 lost freedoms. Washington, D.C., the basic article is, you know, you think you're free in the United States? I have news for you. Not quite. And, of course, we are always paying throughout this time period tribute to what I consider our truest founding father of freedom, Martin Luther King, Jr. I mean, he spoke to the freedom that we dream of and hope for more so than anybody, and even anybody back, you know, 200-some-odd years when they were supposedly forming this liberty-founded nation. So with all that combined together, I mean, it's the whole thing. And I got to insert one thing here, guys, that I just heard this on the way. And you're going to love this if you don't know it. You know, the Democrats have decided to have their convention in Charlotte, North Carolina, right?
Right.
Yes.
And President Obama, assuming he gets nominated again, which he probably will, is going to give...
Are you running against him, Terry?
I might.
Okay,
I might.
All right.
I just might. But assuming he gets nominated again, he's going to give his acceptance speech or his nomination speech in the football stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina, so he can get 74,000 people there and all that.
I was at his last one.
Yeah. That wasn't in Charlotte, though.
No, it was in Denver, but it was in a football stadium.
But it's appropriate here because that stadium is the Bank of America Stadium.
Ah.
That's where he's going to give
his
speech.
Isn't North Carolina like one of the so-called right-to-work states or something where they, you know, pretty much shaft the unions?
So is Virginia. Come on, kid.
About 22 states, I think.
The entire South, the Confederacy.
It prevents any unions from forming because what it does is it says that if you join a union, and even if the voters vote to have a union, your dues are optional, and so that means the union doesn't get paid, so the union gets destroyed.
So, and the union, if you're not not in the union, the union has to give you the same rights and the same representation as everyone who's
as if you're in
the
union,
even
right.
though you're not paying.
It's kind of like being a citizen of the United States and not having to pay taxes, which is really cool. And,
well, that's what corporations do.
That's true.
They ought to do it for the people in D.C. They shouldn't have to pay taxes.
If taxes were optional, do you think people would pay them?
No, wait, wait, Mark. Taxes are optional.
Oh, only
don't
if you're
you?
Mitt Romney.
Yeah, right.
If you're rich under $100 million, Terry, we still have to pay them.
Yeah.
Now you may not understand that.
I understand that.
All right, okay. For yeah. Mitt Romney, they're optional.
Right. Did you see? By the way, we're diverging here a bit, but anyway, did you happen to see what Bain Capital made? I think it was 1983 to 1998, something like that.
$30 billion.
No, 88% profit.
88%.
That's a good profit. Oh, my heavens. That's incredible.
The exact percentage of employees that they laid off from the companies that they took over. 88% of the employees.
But they couldn't afford health care for the tens of thousands of workers they laid off.
No way.
You know, there's only so much that $100 billion will pay, right?
Like we keep hearing them say, man, are you attacking the free market?
Oh, excuse me.
What are you, some kind of commies attacking the free market?
Hey, let's return to topic. Anyway,
there's a topic?
Land of free my butt. You know, before Congress.
Land of freeing Terry's butt.
Yeah. Terry's butt. Never mind. Before Congress right now is SOPA, S-O-P-A, and also.
PIPA.
And, you know, they are two bills that are sort of in conflict with each other.
For those who don't know, it's the Stop Online Piracy Act.
That's right.
And the Protect IP, which is Intellectual Property. Protect Intellectual Property Act. That is SOPA and PIPA.
Yeah. Now, you may know also that there's a whole lot of websites and
PIPA it down or I'm going to wash your mouth out with SOPA.
Oh, God. Oh, jeez. Oh. We got to throw them out for that one, Terry.
Now we got to have to apologize to every listener.
You got a cream pie or something we can smush in his face after that one.
We need to find some metaphors quickly. Anyway, these two bills are before Congress right now. There's a whole lot of backlash happening starting, what is it, Wednesday night at midnight. Wikipedia and just about every other website you can think of is literally shutting down
in
protest for 24 hours. And,
which is a great way to give it publicity. It really is.
Yeah.
I got to give some props to Wikipedia.
Yeah, you bet. And Wikipedia, by doing that, estimates that'll be about 25 million people. That's what they would have gotten on in that 24-hour period. So they're shutting down. And
I hope they leave up the site for SOPA and that one alone.
I'm sure there'll just be an announcement or something about that. You know, and if you go on to the website of Center for Democracy and Technology, you'll see the list of corporations, not-for-profits, websites, et cetera, from AOL to the Bank of America, literally saying this is insane, you can't do this, you don't want to change the infrastructure of the Internet. At the same time, Congress, of course, is going right ahead. I mean, screw the American public.
Listen to the likes of us.
They have an 8% rating, and it can go down.
They still got 8 to play with.
It can go down to 4. Yeah. It can cut it in half.
Yeah, they're working on it. There's no question about it. And, Senator Harry Reid is still maintaining. I don't know why. We got to call. Everybody's got to call good old Harry. Is still saying he's going to bring the thing to the vote. On the Congress floor. Everybody else is saying, wait a minute, a lot of people are saying, back off, this is really big, we can't go there, we don't have enough information, the laws proposed are way too vague, it really would sabotage a whole lot of stuff in the Internet, and he's still bringing it to the floor.
Why don't you tell people what the bill would do?
What the bill would do, oh my heavens.
The one thing that's of great concern, I think, and that is that there'll be like third-party liability.
Criminal liability. Yeah.
Basically, if you have a website, you don't even have to know anything about it. Someone could post something on your website. And I mean, you could have a website that has 100 million postings, but somebody could post one thing on your website.
A comment, perhaps.
Right, a comment, or possibly someone could download or upload something to your website that is protected, that has intellectual property protections, copyright, something like that. And you are liable to be prosecuted criminally. So these big sites or these big companies are like, you know, and the thing about it is this. This is the thing about it. Let's just say, Romney or whoever, you know, our favorite guy, Newt Gingrich or somebody got in. And let's just say Gingrich is in and you know how this guy, he'll arrest judges and he has a right wing House and Senate.
Right.
Guess what's going to happen to any left wing website or any, you know, progressive website or any progressive organization on the net, they're going to go after them and they're going to shut every one of them down and they're going to lock all the people up and put them in jail. Because you can always find a comment
somewhere.
Let me
give you an example of how this would affect, for example, what I do, right? So I have a radio show.
You do?
I do.
Are you? You're here.
Out of the Raucous Caucus. Yes, right. I also have another radio show called The Inside Scoop. And just a week ago, I had the Republican debate, and I would play portions of it and then comment on Rick Santorum said something stupid, Romney
you
said something
stole
ridiculous.
The property rights of the Republican debate?
Now, what I'm doing is actually a longstanding First Amendment thing. It's called fair comment. And if you, it's what Jon Stewart does all the time, by the way. He plays a portion, and then he comments on it. It's absolutely protected by the First Amendment. But, you know, with the few right-wing judges and SOPA, I mean, they may not just shut me down. They could shut Jon Stewart down.
But you can rest assured with that because you know darn well the Republicans in general don't have any intellectual property rights.
Yeah, I forgot about that. So I mean, they would be.
That's
true. Yeah.
Right.
You
know,
you can only go after
right.
you know, progressives.
There's also the dumb online, the DOPA.
Yeah, right.
The DOPA
the MOPA. Moronic.
The MOPA.
Yeah. But the basic thing to realize, you know, and Mark and Garland just referring to it, again, it's one of these laws that is vague more than anything else, and therefore really allows the Justice Department, you know, to follow up on a, quote, complaint, and the complaint can come from, you know, just about any source, and just literally start crucifying anybody connected with that particular complaint. You know, and it can be, you know, even peripherally connected to it. Not only that, it can also go after the websites that may be carrying.
Yep. And that even link to that. If your website has a link that you don't even know that something's on this other website, but your website has a link to it.
Yeah.
This is not, and we're not just talking that you could be sued. You
can
be criminally prosecuted and jailed.
And you know what happens in America when you're permanently prosecuted in jail.
When you have a corporation, those wonderful people that Mitt Romney wants to protect at the expense of the human people.
Insignificant ones, the unimportant people.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
The ones with feet and legs.
Let's say that you're working for one of these people and you discover, oh, I don't know, the corporation illegally polluting the Mississippi River with tons and tons of
toxins. That's legal. Okay. This is United States. Remember, that's legal.
Let's assume for the sake of argument in this particular case
that they haven't done away, and they haven't done away with the EPA here.
And the EPA still exists, and Rick Perry hasn't gotten to it yet.
Oh, you guys are hopeful.
And let's say that you go to your local press and say, hop, they're doing toxins in this river. And the local press says, you know, what are we supposed to believe you? So you actually take company documents to prove that they're breaking the law, so-called whistleblower. Well, you may be okay under whistleblower laws, but what about copyright infringement? You took their property, and they're trying to, they're accidentally maybe killing, you know, everyone that gets water from the Mississippi River, which is a heck of a lot of Americans, but if you steal their copyright property, the person who warned and saved thousands of lives, maybe they could go to jail.
Well, the whistleblower.
There's one other thing, before we get off on you know, this is being pushed supposedly by the entertainment industry more than anything else. Movies, you know, Hollywood is claiming they will lose millions and millions.
Downloaded illegal music.
Yeah, some people have said this is Silicon Valley versus Hollywood in a sense. You know, that, to begin with, like so many positions you hear today supporting any issue, is pure bull. Because Hollywood right now and the studios are making astronomical profits.
And I know it's the Republicans that are pushing this, and Hollywood, you know, they support the Democrats. So why are the Republicans? Nancy Pelosi is firmly against this.
Yeah, there's smoke and mirrors going on here. I mean, but there's a little bit of validity here that has to be dealt with in terms of intellectual property.
That's a concern.
You know, and there is a concern, and it's a difficult.
People work hard to create this stuff.
Yeah,
you should be able to steal it.
A scalpel instead of a chainsaw.
Yeah, and they're just passing a law that encompasses everything and any possibility, and you can be interpreted in any way the government, the White House, the Justice Department, et cetera, wants to interpret it. And, you know, this is crucial. I mean, Reid has said at the moment he's going to bring, you know, Piper to the floor vote January 24th, which is a week from today, right? And he says he's going to need 60 votes, and he thinks he's going to get those. And then all he has to do is get 51 votes on the floor to pass. Now, why Reid is pushing this, I have no idea. I really honestly don't.
See, we already have a Federal Trade Commission. And
still in existence? I thought we got rid of that.
No, they haven't got rid of it yet.
Oh, okay.
And it can protect, and it should protect, intellectual property.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they shut down Napster. That was, you know,
LimeWire, they shut down LimeWire and all the other ones.
But this idea, I mean, there are a lot of vagaries in this bill that make it very dangerous. And even if the current president doesn't misuse use it, who's to say the next one wouldn't?
When I just can't forget Newt Gingrich saying, if I were president, I would bring in judges who made, you know, who made decisions that I disagree with, bring them before Congress. If they don't come to before Congress, you arrest them and bring them in. People who think like that, and who's to say that him or someone who thinks like this won't be in office 4 years from now? People like us here at PFW, you play the wrong thing, you say the wrong thing. Guess what? You don't have to have done anything wrong for them to come after you.
No. And, I mean, people got to realize, too, you know, I mean, everybody talks about, the founding fathers or framers or whatever the heck you want to call them, and we go into this, you know, historical mythology. The one thing they did understand, they truly understood, is you don't give this kind of power to the executive branch of government. You know, whether it's a royalty or whether it's, you know, president of the United States, you just don't give this kind of power. And the reality is this is just another example of where we're giving the executive branch extraordinary powers. I want to get into this Washington Post thing a bit, too, just to make sure that everybody's aware. Here's to 10 things that the author of this, and it's Jonathan Turley, he's a Shapiro professor of public interest law at George Washington University. And in fact, because I'm going to be sharing this information with you, I may be violating some copyright issues.
I was about to say, Terry,
for Garland and me, it's fair comment. For you, Terry, it's unfair
That's
comment.
That's right.
And
then,
therefore, if they cart you away, don't call us, okay? we need to sleep at night.
Boy, it's so nice to have somebody at your back.
Back you 9 times out of 100, Terry.
Yeah, more cold.
A thousand.
9 times out of 1,000, if you're right.
By the way, I'm going to interrupt before I do this, too, because this is important, because we're all going to be going to jail real soon.
Yeah.
This coming Friday.
Yes.
This coming Friday at 12 noon, maybe even 11:45, but probably 12 noon, we are going to be down there with PDA.
The Raucous Caucus.
We, the
Terry
Raucous Caucus.
Golden, yeah. And I personally will be there.
Be there, and we're going to sort of, you know, be
at the
leading
Supreme Court
at
building.
The Supreme Court, right?
But not on the Supreme Court property.
Not on the Supreme
steps.
Court
with
property.
A sidewalk.
We have
been
invited.
You know. I don't plan to be arrested. Now,
yeah.
Terry, I may push in front of the cops.
Yeah, right, yeah, you go.
I'd love being arrested.
Yeah, hey, you know, kind of like if a grizzly bear is chasing you and you trip the other guy,
that's
so
right,
the bear eats
right.
him and gives you
that's
time to get away.
That's right. You don't have to be faster than the bear. You just have to be faster than the other guy.
Yeah,
that's
you
right.
know, I hope the listeners are aware here that these guys would sacrifice the only person with true sagacity on the show.
The only person who uses the word.
The only person who uses the word. Right. But anyway.
We'll use the word sagacity
in memorial
of Terry.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to be there. I've been in jail before. I hope I don't go again. But if I need to go to jail, so what? Martin Luther King said what? A man's not willing to die for something isn't a man that's worth living.
Tell them, you know? Why we will be at the Supreme
because
Court this Friday
are,
at noon.
We are, you know, speaking out again against, you know, Citizens United and
that's
the Supreme
right.
Court in general and the right-wing trend that it's taken. And
we
know,
will not be alone. The
no,
Occupy
we will not be
movement
alone.
Actually has called this protest. We're actually
yeah,
supporting
and
PDA, their
and
PDA, their,
yeah,
their,
yeah, progressive PDA,
Democrats,
progressive America.
Democrats Association.
And there's,
right.
like, there's
and
a
there's probably some other groups as
yeah.
well.
There's some other group, a bunch of other
yeah.
groups, yeah.
But we will be there live in – well, live, I hope. I don't,
yeah,
know,
I don't know how long we'll be alive, but we'll be live
start
at least
out.
To start
and really,
the program.
We hope you'll join us because, you know, look, most of us are not willing to sleep all night with rats in the cold. In those tents, a few very brave people.
You must
are.
Live in a different neighborhood than Garland.
Yeah.
I was about to say, we do that already.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the problem?
That's where you can, that's home.
Anyway.
But even if you're not willing to do that, you can at least come out and support this particular project.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things this United States Supreme Court has done. And to be fair, 4 justices are perfectly reasonable. But the 5 that aren't, things like Citizens United. I mean, if you don't like the super PACs, Mitt Romney, by the way, says he doesn't like super PACs
no,
anymore.
He doesn't like
Even though Citizens United created this whole monstrosity and he's profiting from it.
But talk about smoke and mirrors. I mean, the reason he says he doesn't like it is because he doesn't know what they're going to do.
Oh, which is you know, even though his counsel and his staff are running the thing.
Yeah.
And by the way, 2/3 of it comes from just 4 people. Did you know that?
I know.
4
yeah.
people. One guy gave $2 million to the Mormon Church. Three guys gave $1 million each from hedge funds. And they're 2/3 of and so now Romney can blanket the whole staff. state because of four people. The point is, if you don't like the Citizens United case,
and a lot of other things,
and you don't like the idea that D.C. can't have its own gun laws,
and you don't like the thing that these freedoms are being taken away, and the Supreme Court is not dealing with these freedoms,
which
is phenomenal. Even though suits have been brought, regarding Citizens United. They've been dismissed. They haven't dealt with them.
And if you do like the Raucous Caucus,
and Terry, I got to tell you, the Supreme Court's in trouble because I'm going. That's right. I'm going to bring to the protest my copy of the Constitution.
Don't confuse them.
And
that's
I may have to. I may have to read it to five of them. I may have to say, Scalia, come here. I need to read this document to you because apparently he hasn't read it.
He won't recognize what you're saying. You know any of the words? What the heck are you reading there? Some kind of subversive track here.
I am bringing the most powerful weapon I own. My copy of the Constitution.
That's some commie track you have there. I don't want to hear that.
These guys are dreamers. This is Dr. Reality. You know, I'm trying to help them out.
The Reality Police, better known as Terry D. Kester.
Right. Darn right. Anyway, the freedoms you've lost. These are freedoms you've lost already, guys. You know, pay attention to this, listeners.
I've been looking for my freedoms.
Of course, you know, the president has the power to assassinate U.S. citizens. Isn't that charming? He has that power. Don't see that where that's in the Constitution.
I love the president. Don't you just love the president?
Yeah, you know what?
He's a great guy. Yeah. Please don't kill me. Please. Yeah. Please don't kill me.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's really, that's sick. I mean, you know. George III had that power. That was about
off with your head, you scumbag.
Yeah. You know, that's number one. That's true. Indefinite detention. The president, the government, has the power to
do
that.
Will there be a TV in the cell?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm against that. That's terrible.
It won't matter, Mark, because you'll be tied up and there'll be a bag over your head, so you wouldn't be able to see it anyway.
All right. Yeah. Do I get the electrodes too?
We're not going to say where they go on.
Number three. But it ain't your head. Is totally arbitrary justice. The president now decides whether a person will receive a trial in the federal courts or in a military tribunal.
Now, my Constitution says that we have a right to trial before we can be incarcerated.
Oh, irrelevant.
But
irrelevant.
It says it. I got it right here.
Yeah, I know. It also says it loves corporations. You know,
It's not in there.
Let me go on with all these guys.
Arbitrary justice.
I swear, it's not in there.
Terry, arbitrary justice. Hey, I'm African-American. That's just another day in court.
that's just your everyday life.
That's a normal
life.
Day in court here.
Yeah, nothing new here.
That's true.
Yeah, you have a point, Garlo. Yeah. But now we've framed it. Made it really legal.
Now
it's
white
formal.
People. Can
oh, my God. That's what
affects white people.
That applies to everybody.
Okay. Add to that warrantless searches. Again, these are executive branch powers. The president may now order warrantless surveillance.
But the Fourth Amendment says that you need a warrant.
There he is with that commie tract again. Put that thing away. Yeah,
do I have to burn it? Because I kind of like it.
No, I'd save it. But, you know,
my pocket constitution. I can frame it.
For fond memories, you know, to look back and remember when.
Antiques, an antique put
the
it
way,
away.
The way
it
was.
Went back
All right. Four. Warrantless searches. Again, the president can order warrantless searches on you. This is not just about other people and bad guys. This is on you.
The good thing about those warrantless searches with many of them, they actually have to bring them before a judge to review it. But the judge can't say no. That's what I love. They can write up a warrant. They bring it to a judge.
The judge can say, this is the wrong thing to do. I have to approve it.
Yeah, the judge can say that is the most illegal, immoral, unethical, unconstitutional piece
good,
of trash I've ever seen written.
Approved.
This is good. See, this is what the Republicans want. We're simplifying government.
We're getting rid of government.
Yeah. Number six, secret evidence. The government now routinely uses secret evidence to detain individuals and employ secret evidence in federal and military courts. And when you have secret evidence, you don't get to see it. You don't get to read it. It's not on the public record. It's just a secret why we've
locked
you
up. But think about it. But we keep people in secret prisons, so why not secret
the
evidence?
Sixth Amendment says you have the right to be confronted with witnesses against you. I got to rip that one out, too.
Yeah, you ripped that. That's gone. Forget about it. Number seven, if I'm keeping count, war crimes. We all know this. I mean, you know, we have ignored the Geneva Convention. If anybody forgets, by the Constitution, if we sign a treaty, that is the law of the land.
But in fairness,
we don't believe that anymore. And if we want to, you know, do all kinds of war crimes like waterboarding and everything
else, for anyone who's counting the parts of the Constitution that we're ripping out,
we should rip that part out.
And in all
too.
Fairness, we've ignored the Geneva Convention since the day it was signed and written. So I mean, let's face
it,
at least we're
new.
Consistent.
Yeah, but we've gone way beyond what we were doing way back when.
Because we openly admitted admit to doing the torturing and saying it's okay.
And
at least there was a time when we had to torture people in secret and hope we weren't
caught. We had enough common decency to hide
it. To hide it, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, number 8, I think, if I'm keeping count here. Now, just remember, you've already got, you know, indefinite intention waiting for you. You've got assassination possible for you. You've got arbitrary justice waiting for you. You've got warrantless searches happening. You've got secret evidence. You know, we ignore the war crimes. We have secret courts now. Totally secret courts where they can take the secret evidence.
Yeah, right. You know, and the secret prisoner because, you know, they're not going to tell anybody. They grab you. They don't have to tell anybody they took you.
And, you know, Franz Kafka wrote about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. In 1920s. So
like, did Adolf Hitler, why am I being arrested? Oh, we're not going to tell you. Why am I in prison? When's my trial? No information for you.
Right. and just in case you thought, okay, maybe you can appeal. No. Now we have immunity from judicial review. Many of these laws and these decisions.
That's what I was just talking about.
Yeah, you can't even have it reviewed.
Now, Article 3 of the
Constitution.
Oh, we're
going to tear that one out, too?
Yeah. Says, in fact, that the judicial power should be vested in one Supreme Court that basically you can appeal everything to. I got to rip that one up.
That has to go.
All right.
And number 9 is continual monitoring of citizens. The Obama administration has successfully defended its claim they can use GPS devices to monitor every move of targeted citizens. I love that word, targeted citizens. Aren't you proud to be a targeted citizen, Garland? Mark, I am. I'm proud to be a
target.
Targeted.
I shop there. What's the problem?
That's not what it means.
Let me say this about that. Let me say one thing. If, in fact, when it comes to, say, law enforcement, if, let's say, you have someone who is a criminal, someone who is
Wait a minute.
If there's a real warrant, I have no problem with it.
Yeah.
If someone gets a warrant before neutral magistrate,
just like when they're after the mafia or something.
Yeah, probable cause.
If they present probable cause to a judge that shows they're following this person because they're up to no good and they can demonstrate it legally, I have no problem with them doing whatever they need to do.
Well, not whatever they need to do.
Within the confines of the law.
Chicago
but I mean,
here.
Whether it's GPSs or whatever, if they have a warrant and they can do that in a constitutional fashion, I have no problem with it. The problem I have with it is what we keep talking about, no judicial review. You don't even know whether or not it's constitutional because a judge can't review it, and if a judge can review it, many times they do not have the authority to grant or dismiss it. You put this on the business for the ACLU, Garland. You're going to be locked up. Definite detention for all members of the ACLU. Think of this when you put it on the street.
I mean, here you got a cop. He's got to do his job, right? He's a good cop.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And he gets an order down, you know, go down and you know, spy on this guy or track him or whatever. He's not going to question the order to begin with, well, do we have a warrant? Because the answer is, we don't need a warrant. Just do your job.
Well, here's the thing about it, Terry, and from a guy who, as you know, was a police officer for 27 years.
Yes.
We would be far better off if what you're saying would be the case, if that was happening on a routine law enforcement level. The problem is it's not. It's happening on a much higher level. That's not going to happen with cops.
Right.
That's going to happen with the FBI. That's going to happen with people with the NSA, the military. That's going to happen with people who have a high level technical expertise.
Bet.
So the average cop, they're not going to do it. The average cop on the street is going to have to go through the same, you know, rigmarole that they do. That is constitutionally legal.
Except everybody underneath, no matter who's initiating this, everybody underneath is now in a position if you simply have to obey because there's no way you're going to possibly know what is legal or what isn't.
It's interesting. A lot of the challenges to this, they've said, I'm sorry, you can't bring your case because you can't prove that we even spied on you. And they said, well, I'll turn over the records. Oh, no, we can't do that.
We don't have to tell you.
No. So we don't have to tell you if we're spying on you.
Not to mention, if we are,
we can put you in jail with secret evidence.
This is the one that kills me. They can break into your home.
Yep.
They can take whatever they want. Never ever have to tell you that they broke in. Never have to. You come home.
I hope they clean up. Yeah. That's all I got to say. If you have breakables.
You can come in and someone broke into your home and they took various things. Your computer's gone, et cetera.
And you think it's
no warrant. No one ever told you. They don't have to do anything. They can take run off with the evidence and do whatever they want.
If you guys remember that mayor in Maryland, I forget his name now, you know, where the cops broke in on this phony drug thing, you know, and, you know, handcuffed his mother, who's, you know, like 80 years old, shot his two dogs. You remember that?
Don't shoot the dogs.
They just went berserk, busting in on this phony drug thing. You know, I've interviewed the guy before. I wish I could remember his name. And he finally, after dogs are shot, mother-in-law's practically having a heart attack, they're all arrested, dragged out. He's the mayor of the town, for pity's sakes. You know, and somebody had supposedly mailed some drugs to him, but they actually had the wrong address.
Oh, jeez.
You know, So they charge in, they destroy his home, you know, they scare the living heck out of everybody. They shoot his dogs, literally shoot the dogs right in front of everybody, leave the dogs there lying, bleeding on the floor while they're handcuffed and everything else. There's no evidence, nothing. They're totally illegal. They at least were able to appeal it. And, you know, eventually, I think only about a year ago, maybe even this year, they finally got a settlement and got some, you know, financial
remuneration. Well, I was going to say, he would have a right to sue.
But with all of this, you see, all of this, you don't have that. You don't have that. And we're running out of time here. The last thing, number 10.
Give out the phone number.
Just in case, if we don't come back after the break, because they also can have extraordinary renditions. As you know, the Obama administration says it's not continuing the abuses of practice under Bush, but it insists on the unfettered right to order such transfers. So not only might we go to jail, we might go to jail in... Who knows what?
202-588-0893. 202-588-0893.
And we got to take a quick break here because it's right after the hour. This is Terry DeKessler on the Raucous Caucus with
Garland Nixon
and Mark Levine and this WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. We'll be back with the Raucous Caucus.
Hi, I'm Susan Slater, President and CEO of Habitat for Humanity of Washington, D.C. At DC Habitat, we work to provide safe, affordable housing for hardworking, low-income families in need. This year, with support from sponsors like the Rotary Club of Washington, D.C., we're working to build the second and third phases of new homes in the Ivy City community of Northeast D.C. Please join me on Spirit in Action with Kenny Barnes on Friday, January 27 from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. on WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington, D.C. Look forward to a great show.
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus. And we are back to the Raucous Caucus on WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica here in Washington, D.C. We haven't been extraordinarily rendered yet.
Right.
The phone number is 202.
There's a knock at the door, Terry. They're coming to get you.
I don't know. 202-588-0893. Is that right? Did I get that right?
Yes, you got it right. 202-588-0893.
For those who don't know what extraordinary rendition is, because you may not have been extraordinarily rendered yet.
You're right.
What that is basically is when they take you from the United States.
Or anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. And they take you to a place other than the United States, because here you've got what remains.
We used to have some
protections. You can have this habeas corpus. You can go to a judge and say, hey, why are you imprisoning me? But they might take you, like they took Maher Arar. He was a Canadian citizen who had the misfortune to change planes in John F. Kennedy Airport. And his misfortune was not that the next plane was late or he missed his connection. We've all had those misfortunes. Yeah. No, his misfortune was he was taken to Syria, a completely innocent man, beaten with chains by the Syrian police for about 6 months. The United States apparently, wrongly, thought he was connected with terrorism. The man's completely innocent. Canadian citizen, not even an American citizen. He was extraordinarily rendered.
Yeah, and this can happen to you. And I mean, if you think about the sickness of this, and I'm ashamed of Obama for a lot of this, because these 10 listed here are things
that happened under Bush.
All 10 of these are things that Bush has pushed through or supported. That Obama has pushed through.
He says a lot of these he's not going to do them, Terry.
Our lines are full. But one thing, Terry, just to support something you said, and that is, one thing that we understand, and that is that if you give additional powers to the executive branch, I don't care if it's your guy or if it's their guy, if it's Clinton, if it's Bush, if it's Obama, if it's FDR, once you give those powers to the executive branch, no president is ever going to give them up.
Nope. Someone will abuse them. First president doesn't abuse them, the next president will.
Yeah, yeah. And if they do abuse them, we won't know.
So it's not necessarily...
Oh, we'll find out.
It's not
I'll be screaming when they carry me away. The whole world's watching. What are smartphones for?
It's not necessarily the President Obama's evil or President Bush is evil or Clinton.
But
all going to keep those powers.
Once we get SOPA passed, you're screaming on the cell phone. You're smartphone isn't going to do any good. Let's go to our callers here. Marvin.
Well, we got lots
of them. We're losing our freedom here. Help us out, Marvin.
Terry Garland and Mark, how y'all doing today?
Hey, we're doing
I hope
good.
You're using a false name, buddy, or you might end up in Black Ops prison.
Yeah. Anyway.
You know, I've been listening to PMW since about 81, and I've been listening to Ambrose Lane have really, I mean, thank God for him, man, because I used to just run to the radio.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, where I'm at, you know, if he's coming on, he has. The things that he said are coming home to roost.
Yes,
they are. I mean, fascism is here.
He is the one person on the air here who continually used the word. I've used it many times, and really, I believe it too, and he did. That we are becoming a fascist. We are becoming a fascist state.
You know, those 10 things that you just ran off about this administration, the power that this administration has right now, it show you, because, I mean, it's just. Well, we are in serious trouble. The working people in this country are in serious trouble. Really, I think we haven't seen anything yet. I think the worst is nowhere near yet.
No.
In this country, you're going to see uprising in this country. The despair, the poverty, when people continue to start losing more and more jobs and the lack of opportunities, and the top 1% is getting more richer, and the bottom 99% is getting more poor. You're gonna see things you haven't seen before. In years, you're gonna see more violence. You're gonna see more violence against directly towards government, politicians, bankers, CEOs.
It seems inevitable. It seems inevitable.
Inevitable.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in. We got a whole lot of callers waiting, really glad you called in, Marvin. And yes, it is going to happen. And we're not going to forget, even though we get into all these other political things and have a lot of fun, we're not going to forget Dr. Martin Luther King. Reflecting on what Marvin just said, a quote from Dr. King: "A man who won't die for something is not fit to live."
And the other thing about it is,
we're going to be in that situation soon. The other thing I learned after Vietnam, I just want to mention this, and protesting Vietnam. Yeah, I could walk the streets and protest Vietnam, but when they want to get you, if they want to target you, you're gotten and you're targeted and you're out. And I learned that
right.
The hard way.
And the other thing is, you know, when a recent call, I believe I agree with a lot of what he said. But when he said this administration, I think we often make the mistake of looking at whoever is the current president and certain, you know what I mean, and focusing on that person as though that person were the issue. The bottom line is this: these things have been accumulating for many, many years.
Most of them actually began under the Bush administration. It
goes back further than that.
By Republican Congresses. Yeah. Yep. But Obama has, he said he doesn't like these things, but let's face it, he's acquiesced.
President, I don't care who he is. You can name it, throw
Obama.
Once they get it, you know, it doesn't, to me, President Obama's no more fascist or socialist than anybody else. If the president gets in there and you give him that power, whoever it is, he's not going to give him, or she.
And if you haven't studied.
If it was Hillary, you think Hillary would give him up? No. Nobody's going to give up the power.
And if you haven't studied it for a while, go back and study the conspiracy laws, which came into effect during the Vietnam protests and all. Go back and study those laws.
The sedition laws, were they?
With the conspiracy laws today, any one of us in this room can be arrested and be charged with conspiracy and wind up in prison and be forced to, you know, confess that, well, Garland said it, Mark said it, you know, and everything else. I mean, this really, really is what is
I
one of the
we
main.
We haven't come to that.
No, not necessarily.
I encourage you to read a book by the New York State judge, and I forget his name now, the New York State judge that wound up in prison himself. And, I mean, he points out that is the main reason for the prison population that we have today, is the overuse of conspiracy laws. Add that to everything you've got here.
I'd say it's the drug laws, but let's go on to
another. No, it's not. Really, you got to read that. Okay, let's go to our RC. We haven't heard from you in a while.
RG.
RG. I'm sorry.
RC is a cold.
I can't read.
That's real
Please, gentlemen.
Yes,
spare me.
Please, spare.
The ingratiation. I mentioned tariffs as we talked, and this goes for all three of you. I mean, you're the cat's meow week after week, and we all know that.
Thank you.
So I'll just get to the point. Let's talk about government agencies that have been formed and abolished. And I think, believe it may be Mark or it may be Terry that was talking about the Office of Technology Assessment. Do you remember that office?
Oh, that was a ways back.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I think it wasn't Garland. We know that. It was either Mark or I.
Technology Assessment.
Okay. Well, and then government agencies that have been created, namely the United States Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Well, now that one I like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll throw the question out specifically to Mark,
okay,
since he worked with government so closely.
Yeah.
What do you think about that as regards to, of course, we already know about the surveillance state.
I don't want to mix those two up because I'm actually a fan of the Consumer Protection Bureau. What that does is if a corporation defrauds you or mistreats you or has a bad business practice, this is a government agency that helps you. They don't go out and investigate on their own. That's not true. I guess they could investigate on their own.
Yeah,
but they would
investigate
a corporation that's mistreating a consumer. They're not going after individuals, what we used to call people.
Right.
So actually, that's a good agency. That's one you can go to and get some help from. That's not like some.
Yeah.
So that I wouldn't conflate the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau with some of these other agencies.
No,
that
but did you have a particular? We've got to get to other callers. But RG, did you have a particular concern about this bureau?
Equate that with agencies such as EEOC and such. They've been defanged to the point where are only nominal.
Well, you're right.
That's
the Republicans
concern.
Are trying to defang it. And there's no question about that. And so it's new. We'll see whether it works. Obama just appointed Richard
Cordray. It's ironic, too, because this is such a right-wing drive. We've got the situation where they want smaller government. They want less government. And, in fact, what's happened is we're getting more and more of an oppressive, stronger
only
government.
Only towards the human people.
Oh, right.
The corporate people are doing just fine,
forget.
Terry.
Yeah, I forget.
The first-class citizens are fine.
Yeah,
you know, this incredible assault on labor and unions is it's something. And here's what's upsetting to me about it, and that is so many of the media outlets are owned by the huge corporations who hate labor, who hate unions.
Kidding.
So the assault on the labor unions, it doesn't even, you don't even see it on the news. You don't see it on the newspapers. You don't see it on the major cable channels because the people that own those hate the unions.
We say this whenever we have a fun drive, but it bears repeating, WPFW is one of the few radio stations in the country that is not owned by corporations.
That's right. And I hate to admit this, guys, but, I had a very, very successful career in theater and entertainment, and I was about to incorporate. Oh, do I wish I had. I didn't bother to incorporate. I went as sole proprietor. I went as limited partnerships. If I had incorporated.
They don't give you millions of dollars just because you incorporate.
But if I had incorporated, think of the opportunities I would have had.
You could have your own super PAC.
Anything I want, yeah.
You would have been a person.
Boy, yeah.
You're just a human.
Now you're just a human.
You're a human. Humans don't have the same rights as persons.
Which is that Native American tribe that makes that distinction, which I've always loved, the difference between a person and a human, which is a spiritual difference.
I don't know, but can we move on to the next call?
We should move
Ray
on.
Ray is going to tell us everything.
What's our number again? 202-588-0893.
It's right there in front of you, Terry.
I got to look over there to my left? Okay. Ray, welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Give us some sagacity.
Hey, guys. First of all, in the 80s, there was this book called When Corporations Rule the World. I don't remember who wrote it, but, man, you're talking about a time when it really hits the mark as now. But what I'm upset about is that we have the first black president in the history of the world, I mean, at least in the presidency.
Of the United States.
Who
there have been black presidents
signing
elsewhere.
Legislation to have us held indefinitely without any legal process at all.
It's a sin. It's a crime.
Who has also deported more Mexicans, Spanish people than George Bush did in his entire 8 years.
That's true.
Yep. Not counting the ones that are still in prison.
In Africa, and then on top of that, more people of color. All people of all colors are on food stamps right now than ever.
Yeah,
that's true.
In the history of this nation,
I'm going to comment on that.
And we killed more people than George Bush killed, which is by drone attacks.
I don't think that's true.
Well, but you're talking simply by drone attacks.
Their numbers, they wiped out quite a few people. Yeah. But I don't know what, I am so just confused. I mean, the point is that, this whole Republican-Democrat thing, the line is so fuzzy for me now.
Yeah.
I just told my girl a few months ago, honey, They'll make their money, and we're just rolling out of the country.
Yeah, all right.
Slowly turning into a dictatorship.
We really are, Ray, and thank you very much for your call. Garland, you wanted to say something? I don't remember what it is now. I don't want to get into this debate about, you know.
He said that, talking about Obama being, as bad or worse than Bush. I wouldn't take that too far.
Yeah. I tell you what I was going to say. I'll tell you something I was going to mention about.
I disagree with these guys.
I'll tell you something I was going to mention about. One of the things he has said, and it's a right-wing talking point, and it is a terrible logical fallacy.
Oh, about food stamps.
More people are on food stamps under the President Obama than, you know, that's like somebody slams the Titanic into an iceberg, the bilge fills up with water, you take over the helm, and they say, there's more water in the bilge now under you than there ever was under the left.
That's true. Because he slammed it,
you know what I mean? So the reality is this guy comes in.
That's true.
800,000 jobs sinking. Leave the first month, and he was only in for 10 days of that month. 735,000. Basically, in the first 3 or 4 months he's in, we lose like 2 million jobs. We're already better off, by the way.
Let me finish this.
All these people go on food stamps, right. And then people start saying, well, there's more food stamps on the president. It's not the fault of Barack Obama.
Between 25% and 30% of those on food stamps are working poor.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those are working
it's
two and three jobs. Well, I just heard the statistic tonight.
The same with homeless.
I'm sure it changes and goes back and forth.
My impression is, to prove your point about the darn Republicans,
and I hate to be simplistic and curse the darn Republicans, but Newt Gingrich was making one of his ridiculous speeches just recently and pinning
Newt Gingrich was ridiculous?
Yeah, hard to believe.
You're kidding.
Hard to believe, but he slipped. But anyway, he was making the speech and he was condemning Obama on this exact point about all the food stamps.
That was on the debate last night.
And the audience applauds this as if this is horrible. I mean, the audience is applauding Newt Gingrich because we all know we got to get rid of food stamps because everybody having a food stamp is just, a commie.
Most of the children.
It's part of the way, if you look at Newt Gingrich's view of the world, it's really the Republican view of the world is very simple. If you don't have a job, it's your fault.
Yeah. And you die.
If Bain Capital comes in and fires the steel worker who's worked there for 29 years, it's the steel worker's fault.
It is.
If they come in and eliminate thousands of jobs so they can hire kids in China for 31 cents. And by the way, I looked it up. It is 31 cents an hour. 31 cents an hour. It's the average wage of these,
Pittsburgh?
In China.
No, in Pittsburgh, too.
I
think so.
They're working on them. The corporations are working on
that. If you can compete with China,
North Carolina, I think it's 32 cents.
So, somehow that's your fault for not wanting to live on 31 cents an hour. So, just to be clear, for the Republicans, if you don't have a job, it's your own fault. If you're hungry in America, it's your own fault.
And keep in mind something. This whole food stamps issue is dog whistle politics.
It's $4 a day.
Yeah, it's dog whistle politics.
Can you even eat on $4 a day?
What it's really about is this. Hey, look, everybody, don't forget he's black.
Yeah.
That's what it's really about. Well, you know what I mean?
I'm afraid that's the whole
food stamps thing, once they've gotten a bind.
How can that be
when most people that get on food stamps are
white?
However, it fits into their narrative that's false.
Oh.
Right. It fits into the narrative that says all black people are lazy and they're all doing, blah, 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 blah. And they're taking your money. So that way they can say to the poor white people, black people over here are taking all your money.
Right.
And that way
they're trying to play one off.
Meanwhile, Bain Capital comes in and takes both of their jobs.
That's right.
They're trying to divide us and play us?
No.
Hey, just again, I'm not going to forget a quote from Martin Luther King. You know, if a man doesn't have a job or income, he has neither life nor liberty nor the possibility of the pursuit of happiness.
Agreed.
202-588-0893.
And we have a very patient Bill been waiting on the phone. Bill, welcome to the Raucous Caucus and jump in, please.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, Bill.
It's so nice to be called gentlemen the way we behave.
We're not called that outside the studio.
Voice, you know I know better.
Okay, go ahead, please.
I would like to...
Oh, this is our friend,
this
Bill.
This is our Bill.
Yeah,
the Bill that visits us at Ben's next door all the time.
Yeah, hi, Ben.
Yeah, I would like you to... I would like you and the other callers to please speculate on the president's. I know he knows at least some, at least the constitutional professor part of him knows better about this legislation. So I'd like you and the rest of the callers to please speculate on his motives.
I'll do that.
All right. All right.
We may well disagree on this.
That's a great idea, Bill. We will pick that up immediately. I do have to say in the very beginning here, I don't think we've ever been guilty of speculation.
Particularly on anyone's motives.
No, certainly not.
And by the way, speculation may make you guilty after these bills come off. Right.
In fact, that's a crime that you can be rendered for.
Yeah. And before we continue, let me just announce real quickly. One, our phone number is 202-588-0893. We've got time for a couple more calls, so please call in 202-588-0893. Also, want to mention again, of course, this is the Raucous Caucus with Terry D. Kestner and
Garland Nixon,
Mark Levine,
and this is WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica, and we will be at Ben's Next Door next Tuesday at 7 o'clock.
Please join us, as Bill does, almost every week now.
We've been getting some good audience down there and some good content.
And I tell you what, speculation is the one thing that won't be made illegal because that's what they use to drive the gas prices up with.
Yeah.
So think about that.
And finally, I want to remind you that this Friday,
please join us, 12 noon,
front of the Supreme Court.
On the sidewalk in front of the Supreme Court.
Right behind the Capitol.
Yep.
We do not plan to be arrested. Maybe that's Terry's intent. That's not my intent. Supposedly, the First Amendment still protects your right to peaceably assemble and to
I pulled it out again.
Geez. In fact, you will see me and my pocket constitution if you'll join us Friday at noon. The Constitution says that the right of the Congress shall make no law abridging the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. We're going to do that at the United States Supreme Court.
Except in Washington, D.C. There you can't do it. Sorry.
We're going to do that at the United States Supreme Court until they take us away. So please join us.
Please join us. Don't just
support the Raucous Caucus.
It's supporting
the Occupy
Movement,
now.
It's supporting progressive Democrats, et cetera, et cetera.
I got to tell you, people protest Congress all the time. They protest the president all the time.
Yeah.
People don't protest the Supreme Court enough.
They are now. They are now. And it's a good thing they are. And join us Friday at 12
at noon.
We got people hanging on the line here.
Wait. We never did Bill speculation. Come on.
Hang on, Alan. The speculation was Obama, was taught supposedly
why?
Constitutional law.
All right.
And if he's supposed
to. Why did he sign that?
You want my humble opinion here?
We'll take your opinion, but I'd have to see a humble opinion from you.
You want my arrogant speculation here?
Sure.
Here's my arrogant speculation.
Quickly, and then we'll get each of ours, and then we'll get our callers.
Look, the President of the United States made it very clear under the Defense Authorization Act he did not support the provisions that allowed for indefinite detention. He did not support a lot of the provisions that basically codified some of the horrible things the Bush administration did under the law. Unfortunately, actually by design, the Republicans combined these awful restrictions on our constitutional freedoms to the Defense Authorization Bill, the thing that allows our troops to be funded, because they knew that if Obama said no, they'd say, aha, you're leaving our troops. They're not funded. They're fighting a war. They're going to be killed. One more thing in the bill that's a little bit of a fig leaf, but hey, it's something. You should know the bill does say, this is something the Democrats insisted upon, that it doesn't change existing law. So the argument is, the argument is, and we have to change Supreme Court justice for this, the argument is that this should make things worse than they already are. It's something. It ain't much, but it's something.
Okay, we're going real quick.
The only thing I've got left is a fig leaf hanging in front of me, so I'll go on to Terry.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to see
that. All I got left is a fig leaf.
My response to the speculation on why Obama does this, I'm not going to get into speculating on the emotional, psychological reasons or anything like that. My only question is, what law has he vetoed? Where's his guts?
I don't recall any.
Where are his guts to simply veto a law and say, as other presidents have, for better or for worse, but they've said, screw it, I am not going to sign this. You guys go back and work on it. Where are his guts? He hasn't vetoed a darn thing that I can think of. Anthony, you're on the air.
Gentlemen, unfortunately, I can't make it to the studio, but I'll see you with Ben sometime soon.
And there's another regular call. By the way, like Anthony and Bill, you two can join us 1211 U Street next week, and we hope you do.
And you can join us down at the Supreme Court.
Ben's next door, right next to Ben's Chili Bowl.
Now they're all confused. They're going to go for chili.
Although I regularly disagree with Mark, I do have to agree with him in this respect. The last statement that he made really took the thunder out of my statement in that he pointed out the issue here. This is one of nuance. The Obama administration did not do sort of stuff is just totally ridiculous. Obama is a creature of his time, as is all politicians are creatures of their time. And, the only thing that brings me comfort at the end of the day is when I ask myself, the only real question here, which is, what would John McCain do?
Yeah. So, what would be the difference?
No, there'd be plenty of difference.
Yeah. No, let me just ask you this.
Let me give you a difference.
Terry, you asked Anthony what was the difference. Yeah. Let Anthony answer you before we move on.
I didn't finish my question. Anthony, what's the difference in the sense that Obama has not vetoed a single law that we know of? Certainly not these importance. Why not?
I'm sorry, Bill. I would totally agree with you. It does show a certain lack of...
And why didn't he veto this law?
There are many conversations we wouldn't even be having under Republican leadership, whether it be John McCain or not, that we are having about Barack Obama.
Don't ask, don't tell.
With the Obama administration. It's important that we point out those nuances when we have these larger conversations.
I appreciate that. We've talked about this, in person and argued, too, and we got to get to Alan here real quickly. Yep. But when you get to the point of these 10 freedoms being taken away and Obama has gone along with and strengthened every one of them, I don't call that nuance. I really don't.
Let me say this real quickly about Anthony.
First
of all,
we love Anthony.
It's a wonderful day when Anthony and I agree. It's a rare and wonderful thing that should be preserved and remembered. And so thank you, Anthony, for your call. Number two, I do agree with him. I'll give you one clear difference on John McCain. If we had John McCain, instead of the Supreme Court's decisions being 5-4, they would be 7-2, and we would be even further away from our freedoms.
Good point.
Obama appointed two very good justices to the Supreme Court. Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor would not support this kind of nonsense.
Except we have all these 10 lost freedoms. Anyway, Alan, real quickly, we're running out of time here.
Yeah, I had an out-of-the-box thought.
Okay.
It was to, out-of-the-box thought. It was to develop a professional protest league so that capitalists could invest in the revolution and somehow make it profitable. And, maybe 50,000 people would go out and stand on Wall Street instead of going to football games.
Profitable protest?
I think that's an oxymoron. It's kind of like military intelligence.
There's something unholy about that,
But
he had another one. Did you have a second one, Alan?
No, that was it.
That was it? All right.
Profitable protest.
Let's think about it here. Ben and Jerry's. Let's think about
Alan,
our corporate
thank you
sponsors.
Very much.
Yeah.
We could get Ben and Jerry's.
And we could all wear T-shirts that say, Rocky Ripple Road or something.
I mean, there are some progressive corporations.
I will go so far.
You can put them on the head of a pin.
On a serious level, the response to that, the main reason that our health system is such a disaster, and this is a little, off topic, but it fits exactly with what Alan was asking. The main reason we have this horrible mess in healthcare is simply because our entire healthcare system is based on profit.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And, as quoting Martin Luther King here, I can't find, here it is. So communism forgets that life is individual. Capitalism forgets that life is social.
Hmm.
Dr. Martin Luther King.
That's profound.
It is. In the midst of all the sagacity and wisdom and everything else that we've had, I do want to pay, as much personally pay tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King. I mean, he was the hero of my time, he's the hero of our time
as far as I'm
concerned.
He showed how it could be done. I mean, this is a man who, not through violence, but through mere wisdom, through his personal leadership,
his spirituality, his faith,
but also simply through persuasion, was able to change America in a drastically different direction.
Even more than that.
He gives us hope, He gives us hope that in this land where we are losing so many of our freedoms, we still can change the ship of state. We still can change the course of
America. The thing that struck me, because I was looking through a whole lot of his speeches today and the other day, just thinking about everything else, I was surprised at the number of times, which nobody would do today, at least not with the integrity that he did. He talks about simply love. I mean, he really uses that word time and time and time again. Love thy neighbor, but love in general as being the answer to these problems. Now, we have a lot of noise and sagacity here on the Rock and Caucus, but Dr. Martin Luther King, as far as I'm concerned, is still my hero.
Right, and the other thing about this is what was as important as anything with Martin Luther King and Gandhi, and that was with who they were and what they did, what Martin Luther King did. His famous words, return love with hate. Mm-hmm. What Martin Luther King did to me that was so
return
important.
Return it the other way around.
Return love with hate. My mistake, that was Mark.
Yeah.
But,
I believe that was Stalin, or Dick Cheney, I forget which.
Basically, what he did, and this is something I may have said on the air before, and that is, any person, any human being, no matter how mean, angry, and evil, can be nice to those who are nice to them. Anybody. It takes no particular emotional or mental strength to be nice to people that are nice to you. And so many people walk around and they're only nice to those who are nice to them. What Martin Luther King demonstrated is that true emotional strength and spiritual strength is the ability to be nice to people even when they're not nice to you. To me, that is to love people even when they don't love you. I think that's the true power of Martin Luther King.
And it also is the most courageous act you can
absolutely
do. Absolutely. We have run out of time, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a pleasure being with you.
But Mark's not nice to me. You don't have to be nice to me.
Tonight
well,
you're
nice.
Yes,
I do. That's the rule.
I'm nicer to you than I am to Terry.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, that's true.
So,
yeah. Don't think it
everything's
hurts.
Relevant.
Which tells you that Terry shows incredible fortitude.
Yeah, right.
Because I still love you guys. I love you guys no matter what you've done.
I love you too, Terry. Garland.
But you're not getting my Bud Light.
Anyway,
oh, damn. This is the Raucous Caucus filled with love. We really enjoy you, our listeners, too. You're part of the caucus. Join us Friday at the Supreme Court, 12 noon. We're going to be there. We're going to change the world. And then join us Tuesday night at Ben's Next Door where you can get a crab cake and change the world.
1211 U Street, 7 p.m.
Right next
Tuesday.
To Ben's Chili Bowl. Next door.
Yeah, next is Brother Ah with the jazz to calm us down a little bit. David's been on the board and done a great job
again.
Thank you, David.
Way to go, Dave.
And this is Garland
Nixon,
Mark Levine,
and Terry D. Kester. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.